as a church family. If you are a guest today, if you haven't been here for a bit, we are walking through the Gospel of Mark, and we're just seeing the life and the ministry of Jesus. And so we say a lot here that we are followers of Jesus, amen, that we're following Jesus, we want to be like Him, and we want to be with Him. And so for that, we're learning to follow Him, we're learning to be with Him, and to be sent out by Him as we study this together. Jesus continues to show us in this book who He is and why we are to follow Him. And this week in Mark chapter 5 is no different. Jesus is going to show us who He is. Right? He's going to show us who He is and why He came, and we're going to see His authority and His power. And so if you would grab your Bibles this morning, if you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible at the end of each row. Please take that. If you don't have one, it's our gift to you. Or if you know someone that needs a Bible, and we're going to be on page 490 in that Bible this morning. If you have your own Bible, I have no idea what page you're on, okay? So, all right. So Matthew and Mark in the New Testament, the second book in the New Testament. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, which is where we're going to be. And leading up to this point, just a little context, leading up to this point this morning, Jesus was teaching a great crowd of people, right? He and His disciples then set across the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus gets some much-needed sleep, showing His humanity. He's still fully God, but He's fully man as well, so He's getting some shut-eye, a really deep sleep, and then they were hit with a storm. And they wake Jesus up, and Jesus, with three words, He says, "Hush, be still," and the wind and the waves calms down. By the way, it was proven that I am not God this morning. I looked at my kids, and I said, "Hush, be still," and it did not happen. So, not that you, are you with me? All right, amen. But what we saw, even His creation, nature knows that He is God. And really showing us that if we know Jesus, right? If there's a storm gone in our life, or if there's peace in our life, if we know Jesus, if we are with Jesus, we are right where we need to be. If we've trusted Jesus, then He's with us. Amen? He's with us. He's in our boat, even during those storms. And so now Jesus and His disciples, they've made it across to the other side, and that brings us to chapter 5. I know you guys just sat down, but just to bring honor to God's Word and to Him, let's stand as we read Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. They, the disciples and Jesus, came to the other side of the sea into the country of Gerasenes. When He got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met Him. And he had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains, gashing himself with stones. Verse 6, seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before Him. And shouting with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." For He, Jesus, had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he was asking him, Jesus asked, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began to implore him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there was a large herd of swine feeding nearby on the mountain. The demons implored him, saying, "Send us into the swine so that we may enter them." Jesus gave them permission. And coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. Their herdsmen ran away and reported it in the city and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down. He's clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion. And they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and about the swine. Verse 17, and they began to implore Jesus to leave the region. And he was getting into the boat. The man who had been demon-possessed was imploring Jesus that he might accompany him. And he did not let him, but he said to him, "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You that we can come here and worship You. We thank You for those that are here today, and there are those that are still traveling or that are sick or working, God, so we pray, Lord, that You'd be with them as well. As Levi prayed, Lord, we pray, God, that today you would change us. We pray, God, that we would walk out of here more like Jesus than when we walked in. We pray, God, that we would be more on fire for Jesus than we walked in. And God, if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus as their Savior, we pray, God, that you would draw them near to you and that they would respond to you today and be saved. So God, we give you today. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. And everybody that agreed said, amen. You can be seated. So Jesus had just calmed the storm and they make it to the other side of the sea. And right away, here is what is waiting for Jesus and his disciples. Verse 2 says, when he got out of the boat, immediately, right away, a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And so when we read this, when we read about an unclean spirit in the Bible, it's speaking of demonic. It's speaking of a demon, a fallen angel. And so we have this man that has this unclean spirit. He's demon possessed. This isn't the first time Jesus and his crew, right, have run into this type of person, right? Three times in chapter 1. The first one, Jesus encounters Satan himself out in the wilderness. And then two other times in chapter 1, Jesus cast out demonic. A couple times in chapter 3, Jesus casts out demons. And now here in chapter 5, we're going to see this again, and Jesus will once again show his authority. But there's something a little bit different this time around with this man and his possession. And so I think it's important. I like the details that Mark gives us here about this man, where he is and what he's doing. He's really painting a grim picture about what these unclean spirits have done, what they're capable of doing. So in verse 3, we read this, and this man with the unclean spirit, he had his dwelling among the tombs. He's living among graves, among the dead. And no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, just listen to his condition. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. And so we have this demon-possessed man, and Mark says that he had this unnatural strength, right? He's out of control is really what we're seeing. They've tried to control him. They've tried to chain him. They tried to shackle his feet. But because of the power of the demonic, the unclean spirit, he broke free. And it says that he had been screaming night and day. And that language that we read here, that the language of his screaming, this would be a continual, unearthly scream that would be intense and full of emotion. And then it gets to this point where it says that he was gashing himself with stones. He's gashing himself with stones, using that jagged edge on the rock. He's in so much eternal pain and so much torment that he's hurting himself and wanting to take his own life. The reason the detail is here is to not make us cringe, but so that we can see his condition, right? We can see the destruction and the suffering and the pain that the devil causes. And Jesus finds him in the tomb. He's living amongst the dead. And according to Jewish law, this alone makes him unclean. He has to be cast out, right? He has to be cast, let alone that he's crazy, right? Let alone that he's possessed. He's cast out for that. So he's dangerous to himself. He's dangerous to others. And he's alone. And so this isn't just an unclean spirit in a man. This is a tormented man in a very, very dangerous condition. And I think we have that detail so we can imagine what this man is going through to understand his condition. It appears Satan has this man right where he wants him. Here he is. He's out of control, tormented. He's all alone. And this guy is ready to say goodbye and end it all. Have you ever worked with someone or talked with someone that just said, man, I just don't know if I can do it anymore? Are you guys with me? Man, and I have a hard time. I work with people like that often, and it's just like, man, that's just, I can't imagine that pain. And so when we think about God, we know who God created people to be, amen, right? To be made in his image. But here he is in this horrible, horrific condition. I'm a preacher, I can make up a word like horrible, okay? Horrible, horrific. Church, we can't miss this, right? We can't miss this. We were created in the image of our holy God. This man, we see him as a man possessed and just a man in the story. This man was created in the image of God. Those people that you work with, they were created in the image of God. You were created in the image of God. And Satan, the enemy of God, is trying to destroy all of that. That's what he does. So I want to just let you guys know, man, this is a very serious reality, right? What God creates and calls good or very good, Satan tries to destroy. This man is near the end of his rope. He's being destroyed. 1 Peter 5:8. Man, sometimes we walk around like there's no such thing as spiritual warfare. The Bible talks about spiritual warfare all the time, church. We can't, I know we're Baptists, but we can't get away from that. Are you with me, church? Man, we can't get away from that. We even have in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober-minded, be alert. Right? Pay attention, church, right? Your adversary, your enemy, your opposition, the devil is prowling around like a little kitty cat. No, like a roaring lion. Like a roaring lion looking for anyone he can devour. That word devour means destroy. Resist him, the Bible says. Here's the thing about Satan. He doesn't want to just mess with you or distract you. He's not some schoolyard bully. Satan wants to destroy anything that God calls good. Are you with me, church? Are we on the same page? When God created man and woman, he took the time to put us together. Breathe his life into our lungs. He created us in his image. Here's kind of this idea. From the very beginning, we were made to have a very, very special relationship with our Creator. You and I have the ability to reason. We have intellect. We have will. We have emotion, right? All things to be able to relate, right? We were made to be with God, to pursue God and his will and his ways. Satan doesn't want to just throw you off, church. He wants to destroy you. If you follow Jesus, he wants to destroy all of that. He wants to destroy what God loves, including his greatest creation, which is mankind. By the way, Satan doesn't need our help. Sometimes we look at each other and we forget, even in the church, that we're made in the image of God. Are you with me, church? But this doesn't mean, the spiritual warfare doesn't mean we panic, right? But it does mean that we are aware of Satan's ways and his tactics. But here's what it really mainly means, right? We stay close to Jesus. We keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we walk with him daily, because no matter what life throws our way, if we are his, if we are saved, if he's in our boat, he will never abandon you. I don't know if you're here this morning, you just need to be reminded of that. Jesus will never abandon you. You're never alone. He will never forget you. Maybe people forgot you or abandoned you. Man, God would never do that. He's right there all along through times of peace. Man, we know he's there during times of peace, right? Hey, God, I must be doing good, right? There's a storm and we forget who God is and that he's there. Listen to this. The devil isn't just some guy that's a little misunderstood. We look at him on cartoons sometimes. We look at him on TV. We read books about him. He's not just some guy that's misunderstood or that had a hard time and chose the wrong path. That's not who that is. Jesus describes Satan in John chapter 8, verse 44, and he says this. Just listen to these words. This is from Jesus. This isn't from me or anybody else. He says, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. And so we see this man. This man is possessed by an evil spirit, by the demonic that is led by the devil. And the demon is set on destroying him. Sometimes we skip over passages that talk about demon because it makes us uncomfortable, right? Are you with me? We got Jesus. Are you with me, church? Man, there's no need to fear. But Satan tries to destroy, and Jesus said that he leads us to destruction. Here's what his goal is. He wants to keep the world from Jesus, from even hearing about Jesus, let alone following and being saved by Jesus. And here's the reality. Here's what happens. If a person dies without knowing Christ, that person spends their life, eternal death, separated from God in a real place called hell. That's his goal. Jesus says, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit, but Jesus says there's no truth in him. He's a liar. And I'm even going to talk, whether you know Jesus or not this morning, this is for all of us. We can be tempted and we follow and we chase that liar, don't we? We do. Because it sounds good, right? It sounds appeasing. It tastes good. It feels good. Right? Are you with me? Right? He has every desire to keep people from Jesus, to not believe in the good news of Jesus. Why? Because then, right? Because if they hear about that, then he might lose them. So he keeps that lie in front of them. Lies that look good, smell good, taste good, feel good, right? But never satisfy. They never satisfy. They always lead to destruction. Jesus doesn't give up. He tells us more in John chapter 10. He describes Satan. He says, a thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Let me say that again. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. And so we see Satan for who he is, and we see what he does. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I believe that we have all of this clarity and this detail about this possessed man so that we can see clearly that this man is experiencing just that. The stealing, the killing, and the destroying. Satan has robbed him from the life God created him to have. Satan is attempting to destroy a man made in God's image. But don't miss what Jesus says in that verse, John chapter 10. He says, that's who he is, but look who I am, right? I've come so that you can have life and all of it, right? Abundantly. He comes to give us life, the life we were created to have and to have it abundantly. Church, let me just be very clear. I don't know where you are in your life today. That life is only found in Jesus. You may be here this morning. You might be saved. You might know Christ as your Savior. Or you may be here and you've rejected Jesus. You've put that on hold. You say, man, I've got time. I've got time. Jesus wants you to know that we can follow Jesus and have the life he created for us to have with him and that forgiveness that you're seeking. Or we can follow the one that is set on stealing, killing, and destroying. Jesus doesn't say there's a middle ground. We follow one or the other. Whatever it is, wherever you are right now in your life, know that Jesus came so that you can have that life that you were made to have. And so this man being led by an unclean, evil spirit is being destroyed. And look what happens here. Here comes Jesus, right? Verse 6, seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. And this is the demonic. And shouting with a loud voice, he said, what business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, do not torment me. For he had been saying to him, Jesus had been saying, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. This is big, church. This man, led by a demon, comes to Jesus and he bows down before him. Right? Amen? Right? Now, we've seen this before. Chapter 3, verse 11. Jesus had been healing and teaching, and we see that whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, you are the Son of God. Now, I want to be clear. Them bowing down is not a sign of worship. They're not worshiping God, because we know, because they oppose everything that Jesus does. Their bowing down was acknowledgement of who he is. It's an acknowledgement of his authority over them. Are you with me? Even the authorities have to, excuse me, even the demons have to check in with the authority of Jesus. They know, and they even say it out loud, they call him Jesus, Son of the Most High God. They're acknowledging that he is, in fact, who he says he is. He's God, church, right? We've got that Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is fully God. If he wasn't, he could not have saved us. Are you with me, church? And so knowing that, the demon-possessed man must drop to his knees. And one thing we must see, often people reject Jesus or reject that he is God. But take note, even the demonic and Satan, they always confess Christ accurately and truthfully. They know who he is. They hate him, they oppose him, they are his enemy, but they recognize who he is and they bow down before him. And Jesus has commanded that this demon come out. He says, come out of that man, you unclean spirit. And the possessed man cries out. He says, what business do we have with each other, Jesus? Like, what are you doing? What's going on, right? Jesus, Son of the Most High God, I implore you by God, do not torment me. The unclean spirit is actually doing two things here. First, recognizing who Jesus is, right? They're bowing, they're falling down before him because they have to. But I want to include us a little bit more of what's happening here. When they are addressing Jesus, they name him. Are you with me? They're naming him. They're naming who he is very specifically, because there was an understanding, or really an assumption at that time, that the use of one's name by an adversary was an opportunity to gain control over them. So if you had an adversary and you said their name and who they were, right? If you claimed that over them, you're trying to claim authority over them. And obviously, this is a failed attempt by Satan here. Amen, church, right? And so they're appealing to God in hopes that God, that's what they do next. Now they're saying, will you protect us, right? God, will you protect us? And they already know this, but they are about to be an active participant in Jesus showing that he's God. I love this, man. I just love it. The demonic is saying, I implore you by God, do not torment me. For Jesus has been saying, come out of that man, you unclean spirit. Active participants in Jesus showing who he is. And really, we're seeing that the one, don't miss this, the one that had been tormenting, the one that had been doing the tormenting to this man is now pleading God not to torment him. Man, that gives me chills of who Jesus is. Amen, right? So we come to verse 9. The demon has just pleaded with Jesus. Jesus turns and asks the demon a question. Right? And he was asking him, he says, "What is your name?" And the demonic says back to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." There's a reason Jesus asked this question, "What is your name?" Now let's just get this out of the way. It wasn't because Jesus was confused. Right? It wasn't because Jesus didn't know. Jesus didn't ask because he was caught off guard or needed Satan's help here. Are you with me? That's not what happens. Jesus asked this question to show those around him and to show us who he is. And here's why. Because we're going to see that Jesus really asked this question to show how great he is. Are you with me? He says, "What's your name?" Here's his response. "My name is Legion, for we are many." My name is Legion. The word legion is something that they would have been very familiar with in that day. A legion is a contingency of 6,000 Roman soldiers. 6,000 deadly soldiers. Powerful soldiers. A very large and powerful force. So when the demon speaking says, "My name is Legion, for we are many," here's what he's saying. This man was not possessed by one demon, but by many. Working together as one powerful evil force. So Jesus is about to show how great he is with this one miracle. We've seen him heal, teach, cast out demons, tells the winds to and the waves to cease. But this is different because he's going to show the world and show all of us as we read the Word of God who he is. This wasn't just one powerful demon that was controlling and destroying this man. It was a great number of them. It's telling us that an extremely large and terrifying amount of militant demons were coming together, working together as one powerful and evil force. An army of unclean evil spirits tormenting this man and destroying him. Are we catching the picture of this man and what he's dealing with? And then Jesus comes into the picture and Jesus is about to show us and this man and everybody how great he is. And these spirits are pleading with Jesus, not one or two or three of them. This army, this powerful army is pleading with one, not to destroy them. Verse 10, they continue, and he began to implore him earnestly not to send them out of the country. The demonic saying, "Man, don't send us out of the country." They were bowed down before him in submission. They're begging Jesus not to kick them out of the area they've been in control of, right? They got that area, they've been working that area, they're in control of it, but there's actually a whole lot more than what these demonic, or what we're understanding here. And here's where we go into eternity. These demons also know, I get excited when I read this, they also know there is a day coming when they will face eternal judgment. 2 Peter, we know that a third of the angels followed Satan, and God booted them out of heaven. And so now they're the demonic. Speaking of those that fell from heaven with Satan, it says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them in to hell and delivered them in chains of utter darkness to be kept for judgment." They know Jesus is in control and that their judgment is coming. If we look at Luke's account, both Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have this same account. They all use a little bit different language, but to tell us the exact same story. Luke 8:31 says this, "And they begged him not to banish them to the abyss." The abyss meaning the pit. Don't banish us to the pit, the prison of bound demons, right? The place that many demons are held until their coming judgment. These fallen angels, right? They followed Satan instead of God and are no longer in control of their judgment. The Bible tells us that hell was created for Satan and the fallen angels. They have no choice. They will spend eternity in hell. Normally, when hell is presented, we look at it on TV, we see it in a book or in a movie, right? Maybe even in our conversations, we don't really have an idea of what hell is. And it can be presented in such a way that shows that the devil and the demons are having a blast in hell. We see or hear of hell like it's the place to be if you're evil. See you in hell, right? You've heard people say that on TV. We see the devil down there playing cards. right? And laughing it up and laughing at the people that end up there that were manipulated by them. But that's so far from the truth. We see here that there is fear in the demons because they know they're going there. They know it's in their future. In Matthew's account, the demonic actually say this, "Have you come here to torment us before the time?" They know. They know. They're not looking at place at hell as a place to be. They know they're going to be tormented. They know, and so in fear, they're begging Jesus. They're begging God, please don't send us there. Not yet, right? Don't send us out of here, but please don't send us to the abyss. Church, if you're here today, if you're watching online or listening online, hell is no joke. Hell's no joke. It's not a party. It's eternal torment. And I just want to lay this out very clearly. There's a teaching making its way up and through some churches right now that said, no, Jesus will give you a chance once you're in hell. Church, that's a lie from hell. Are you with me? The Bible is clear. It was a place created for the devil and the demons, but ultimately it is the eternal, hear me out clearly, it's the eternal destination for those of us that do not turn to Jesus and believe in the gospel. There's no way around it. If you believe in any part of the Bible, you have to believe in that. You've got to believe in the gospel and Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. The Bible is clear. Jesus is clear about this. These demons, their future and their eternity is already decided. How about yours? If you've not given your life to Jesus yet, I want you to know this. Jesus came to save you from that punishment. Are you with me, church? Are you getting the intensity of this? Man, there are people around us that this is where they're headed. And Jesus says, man, let's share Jesus with them. Share the gospel with them. Jesus came because he wants you to spend eternity with him where you belong. But your sin and my sin, it caused that broken relationship. It caused that falling short of God. And so Jesus, he came to save you from your sins. And so you can spend eternity with him. He came to save you. He came to rescue you. To set you free so that you can be with him. And this is why Jesus says, repent. Turn away from that sin. Turn away from that crap in your life, the junk in your life, and follow me. Believe in me and the good news that I bring. I've got you, is what Jesus says. This is as serious as it gets, church. Have you responded to Jesus? Or have you ignored him up to this point? Jesus says, I've got it. I'm here. I made a way. You just need me. I've talked with many people that have said, man, I don't know. I don't know for sure where I'm going to spend eternity. But you can leave here today knowing with certainty your eternity, not because you're at church, not because you're religious, not because you've earned it, not because you said certain prayers or because you have a Bible or it says on Facebook, it says that you're a Christian and have K-Love on your bumper sticker. Well, just be very clear. You can leave here today knowing your eternity can be with Jesus if you just say, Jesus, I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to repent of my sins and make you Lord of my life. But for the demonic, they see Jesus and they beg him, don't send us to the abyss, not yet. Are you with me? And so in verse 11, there were a large herd of swine feeding nearby on the mountains. The demons implored him, saying, send us into the swine so that we may enter them. I just smile at this picture. I just want you guys to get this powerful, deadly, evil army of demonic are begging Jesus. Thousands are begging one Jesus. This powerful army of demonic, they have to come to Jesus for permission. And they say, please send us into those pigs. Verse 13, Jesus gave them permission. Coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine and the herd. They rushed down the steep bank into the sea. About 2,000 of them were drowned in the sea. Their herdsmen, those that were with them, right? They run away. I would have too, right? And reported into the city and in the country. And the people came to see what it was that had happened. Before we move on, I want us to see a few truths just out of this. The first one is this. We've said it repeatedly. On the back of your bulletin, there are notes if you want to write these down. But the first one's already filled in for you. Jesus has the ultimate power and authority. How great is it that even the demonic have to ask Jesus for permission? And whether you are the winds and the waves or you're an evil army of demons, you must respond to Jesus. So that's the first one. The second is this. We're going to see a difference between Jesus and the kingdom of God and Satan and his evil kingdom. We can see even in the swine that the demonic, those that call the devil their leader, they're all about destruction, and then they kill these, they're the ones that kill the swine, right? Whether it be a person or these swines or whatever else they can deceive, they are always out to steal, kill, and destroy. That's who they are. We got some young people in here today. Let me just be very clear. There's some things out there that says, hey, you should test this spiritual realm. Play around with that world. Check us out online. Let me just be very clear as your pastor today. Stay away from that. Are you with me, young people? Are you with me? Stay away from that. It's dangerous. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's what they do. If we view them in any other way, we are missing who they are. We must know that Satan and the demonic, they are evil, they are liars, they are murderers, they are deceivers, and will do anything to make sure that you face eternal destruction. We've got to be on guard. Are we, right? Are we daily, hourly, consistently keeping our eyes on Jesus and not believing in their lies? Here's the truth. The devil wants to destroy you. Not because you, but because you belong to Jesus. The devil wants to destroy your walk with Jesus. Married people, the devil wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your relationships with people. He wants to destroy your life. He is not to be taken lightly. So we are to turn from the world and our desires and place our trust in Jesus and in the Word of God, because He has come so that we may have life abundantly. Third is this. In this scenario, I just love this. We see the heart of Jesus. Don't miss this. In the eyes of Jesus, the rescue and restoration of one person is more important than any other asset. There is nothing in this world that carries the value in the eyes of Jesus, which is whose eyes matter. Amen, church? That His greatest creation, people, we carry the most value in the eyes of Jesus. Those that He created in His image to have a relationship with Him. And at creation, God set mankind apart from all other creation. We were created in His image to have a relationship with Him. Now, don't get me wrong. I love animals. We are responsible to take good care of animals. Are you with me, church, right? We are responsible to do that. God has placed us in that position to take care of that. So the loss of swine is a big loss. But it's nothing compared to a person's eternity. It's nothing compared to that man or any other person's eternity and them being redeemed by Jesus. So we see that Jesus values you. Church, He loves you, and He came to rescue you. Now check this out. This man, he's been controlled and tormented. He's been running around, torn clothes out of his mind, terrifying others, supersonic strength, bringing harm to himself and others, ready to take his own life. And then Jesus delivers, right? The herdsmen, they run off, and now they're bringing people back to see what happened. And then we see this. They came back to Jesus and observed this man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed in his right mind, the very man who had the legion. And they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine. And they began to implore Jesus to leave their region. Missed it. When we look at this man was no longer as they remembered him. He's now dressed. He's in his right mind. He's at peace. He's set free. He's made new by Jesus. Church, this is huge. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Write this down. Just 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if you know Christ, if you're saved, He is a new creation. You're a new creation, the Bible says. You're not just who you were made better. You're new, right? The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. So He's made this man new, but we also see that the people are afraid. They had seen how powerful and destructive this man was when possessed, and Jesus, with just a few words, took care of all that, right? He caused all that to cease. They're seeing the power of God right in front of them. And instead of being in awe and wonder of who Jesus is, they've got that fear, and probably just thinking about their wine, they say, Jesus, would you leave? Leave. Church, we can do that, I think. We can miss who Jesus is. Let's not miss Him, right? He's got you. He's the one that can deliver you from whatever it is in your life. Let me just be very clear. Every single one of us has something in our life. And it might have a grasp on you that you're just like, I just don't know. I can't tell anybody about it. Are you with me? I can't tell anybody about it. Nobody knows it. Like, it's my secret. God knows, church. Right? He's the one that can deliver you from whatever it is in your life. He can deliver you from anything that's controlling you. I see far too often the porn industry just taking a hold of our young men and all men and young people and women too. Billions of dollars. I heard a man say this. He said, you know, Christians are out there knocking on our industry, but they're one of our biggest customers. Sin can get a hold of us, can't it? Whatever yours is, Jesus can deliver you from that. If you're here today and you've not trusted Jesus with your life, stop sending him away. He's worthy, right? We can trust the one that created us. He came to rescue us. And so if you're here today and you've never surrendered to Jesus, stop sending him away. He made you, he knows you, he loves you, and he proved that. The Bible says that he proved his love towards us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. He came to deliver and rescue you. So the question is, will you trust in him and let him save you? You might come here today and you're saying, that's not me. I know Jesus. I know Jesus. But certain areas of your life show that you haven't surrendered that part of you to Jesus. Whatever it is, whatever that part is in you, surrender it to Jesus today. Just give it to him. And they asked Jesus to leave. Verse 18, he was getting in the boat. The man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him. He's asking Jesus, can I accompany you? And he did not let him, but he said to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you. And now he had mercy, and how he had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. Church, look at this. While others are saying, Jesus, go away, this man says, Jesus, I just want to be with you. I just want to come with you. Wherever you go, I want to go with you. Let me be with you, Jesus. Let me just come with you. And Jesus isn't rejecting this man from following him. He's saying, hey, man, I got something great for you. I have a mission for you. Hear me clearly. That only you can do. Now, it's Jesus that's going to do it through him. But I've got a mission for you that only you can do. And so Jesus says this, go home to your people. Tell them the great things I've done for you and how I had mercy on you. He's saying this, go tell others your story. Tell them who you were. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them what he saved you from. He says, tell them about me, Jesus says. Tell them what I've done for you and who I am. And so he says, go to your people. Jesus wants this man to go to his family and his former neighbors and the former co-workers or maybe schoolmates, right? Go to those who knew who you were. Go to those who saw you at your worst. And show them who you are now because of Jesus. Acts 1:8 shares something. Jesus says something very familiar to that. A commandment that we are to obey today. Jesus says that we are to be his witnesses. He's telling that to that first century, right? And he's telling them, man, do it right here in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the rest of the world. So do it here, do it there, and do it everywhere. Are you with me? And he's telling this man, go and be my witnesses. Don't keep it to yourself, Jesus is saying. We live that lie sometimes, don't we? Oh, I'm not going to talk about religion and politics. No, we should talk about Jesus, church. Tell and share about who Jesus is and what he did. Jesus is saying, the people might not want me now, but I'm going to leave you here with them. And you're going to tell them about me. So for this man and for us, the words of Jesus are to ring true in our lives, and we are to let him live that through us. We're to live that out because of him, to go and tell your story, right, about you and Jesus. Are you with me, church? Think about what he's done in your life, what he's rescued you from, what he's protected you from. Knowing that you were bound for a place called hell, go and tell your story. In verse 20, and he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. Church, we have the privilege but also the responsibility to tell others of Jesus and the great things he's done. The question today is, with what we've heard from the Word of God today, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? That's between you and Jesus right now. What are you going to do? So I want you guys...